Hey, you've tuned in to the Lovely Travels podcast, where we talk about all things travel and adventure. My name is Emma Lovell, also known as Lovely, and I have a mission to visit every UN-recognised country in the world while raising awareness for mental health. Join me as we revisit some of my past adventures, speak to fellow travellers and interesting locals, all while following the journey to 195 countries. I'll be joined soon by my co-pilot, Darius, in Germany. And sometimes we're even going to hit the road together. Make sure to join in the adventure by following me on Instagram, Lovely Travels. You can also join our Facebook group, Lovely Travels Community, and learn more about us at the website, lovelytravels.com. But for now, it's listening time. Travel vicariously along with us.
Hello and welcome everyone to the Lovely Travels podcast. Emma, my dear, are you there?
I'm here.
Hooray. Hello, how are you?
Well, and I'm literally here because we are talking about Queensland and I'm in Queensland.
Yes, the land of Queens. Why is it called that?
Probably because Queen
Elizabeth,
whoever was at the time. No, it would have been Victoria. We'll have to fact check this, would have been like, I want the Queensland as the, or whoever was naming states was like, yes, Queen, I have named this one after you. And she was like, thank you.
Oh, yeah. What's it called? Queensland?
Yeah. Victoria Land. Elizabeth Land. Oh, I want to make it more general. There's lots of queens. It's for all the queens. I'm a queen. You're a queen. Anybody can be a queen. So that's why I live here, because I'm a queen.
Well, and what a fabulous land it is that we chose for the Queen.
It is, and I am very, very happy to live here, and I'm very happy that you came to visit me when I was living here, and I plan to continue living here henceforth.
Fantastic. It's a wonderful place to live. It's probably one of the favourite states I've been to in Australia.
New South Wales, cover your ears. You didn't hear that.
Well, New South Wales is nice, but Queensland's always had like a little bit of the holiday feeling.
It is. Tis the holiday state. Tis the sunshine state. And, yes, tourism is a big, big deal here. And a lot of Australians tend to holiday here. I think a rite of passage, we talked about it on our wonderful Gold Coast episode, but a rite of passage is having that Gold Coast holiday as a child. And I think that's still, you know, it's a very easy destination. It's very well done in that respect.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yes, it's a bit, well, you know, we've actually got a lot of cool things happening and all that, but it is a bit holiday 101. But that's what you want when you're tired and you want to take the kids somewhere and you just want a break. You're like, yep, lots of stuff and nice weather and mummy can sit by the pool. Thank you. As a parent now, I get Queensland. I get it.
Fantastic. Yeah. And then when you're sick of that, you can step up your holiday game and go to Cairns. Because everyone, exactly. Not necessarily the main street of Cairns, but Barrier Reef and the Tablelands and the rainforest.
Yeah.
Queensland just has it all.
You should be in the marketing board.
I'm accepting checks as of now.
Yes, hear that, Queensland Tourism? Get on board. So, you know, and yes, their slogan is, where else but Queensland?
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, nowhere really.
You have been really, but as much as you love the land of the Queen, you haven't been to many places, really, because a big state.
No, not really. It is a big state. All the states are big. Like, that's the problem. Not Queensland specific. Like, you say you've been there. They're all huge.
Yeah. That's probably a thing with Australia in general, isn't it? Like you get to when you do one of my brother actually sent me today one of those, you know, the app where you can say I've been there. And it's like with Australia, like if you've been to Australia, you get to tick the whole thing and it colours in the whole continent. And you're like, well, that's not fair really. Like, have you? You know, you get
that's
a really
madness.
Big percentage of the world.
Yeah.
But you've actually really probably only been to, like, I can't even, like, a 10,000.
The Gold Coast and
100,000th of the land. So, Yeah, no, I knew that. And, you know, and that was something that we, when we were talking about these episodes, actually, even I said, I don't think I'm qualified enough to do justice to the Queensland episode.
Mm.
I aim to, and I'm trying to, and I'm loving exploring my own state. And even next weekend, we're heading to the Sunshine Coast, which I've been to, but we're going to a new area. We're going to Caloundra. So just trying to do things like that. But I mean, heading inland, I haven't even gone there. And that's what welcoming our lovely guest, Natasha. She has done a lot. And as a travel writer, she actually knows a lot about the state. And I, you know, basically selfishly just got heaps of great tips off this episode.
Good. Good. Yeah. Natasha's been great with the tips.
Yeah.
No, wait. Someone else has been Natasha, hasn't it?
Yeah. 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 No, she was very, very, very helpful. And she actually has her own podcast, the Extra Virgin Food and Travel Podcast.
Why is it called that?
Because.
Like the oil.
Yeah. It's like fun. It's like a fun play on words. I didn't actually ask her that. And we'll have to get her back so I can ask her that question. But if you go and listen and you listen to really episode one, you might get an insight. But I might just share a little bit about Natasha because she is very fascinating. So she said, I was bitten by the travel bug extremely early and as a child indulged my curiosity by ringing random numbers in countries like Alaska or the Congo and asking whoever answered questions about their country until my parents figured out why their phone bill was always so high. So becoming a travel writer was a natural progression. She likes to go off-piste. Well, I'll say it in first person. I like to go off-piste when I travel. The countries next door to the popular destinations, which is something we discussed on the episode. The third cities, the dusty museums in tiny towns, the quirky festivals, the homely and the home-cooked. I travel like I eat, never satisfied, forever over-ordering or over-planning in an effort to try and cram in as much as possible. Life is too short to stay at home or say no to cannoli for breakfast, right? Oh, gosh, you can tell she's a travel writer, right? How good is that bio?
Yeah, that's great. I'm a little bit concerned, though, about her being the inspiration for that Simpsons episode where Bart does the collect call to Australia.
Yes, that's how that all kicked off. It was Natasha. That's her, like, call to fame. Oh, yes, no. And Natasha, I'm sorry to all our other guests who have been fantastic. Natasha did give some of the best fun facts ever.
Wow.
And I nearly didn't ask. And at the end she said, can I say a couple more things? I was like, sure. And then.
Okay, just this once.
Why am I giving it away? Don't give it away. Don't give it away.
Don't give it away. Don't give it away. Yeah, I'm so sure someone who writes bios like that has wonderful fun facts as well.
Yeah, honestly, this could fast become one of my favorite episodes. I hope you all enjoy listening. If you're loving on Queensland and you want a bit more about where I live, the Gold Coast, we had that way back in episode 17. And because I do live here, I'm sure we'll have many, many more wonderful Queensland episodes. But right now, let's try and cover as much of the state as possible and jump in to this one.
Let's go.
Welcome to the podcast, Natasha. I would love to start with the existential question of who are you? So tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, thank you, Emma, for having me. I am a food and travel writer, and that's a job I've been doing since before the days of the internet, believe it or not. These days I'm freelance and I'm probably doing a little bit more of the food writing of late than travel. I also have a travel podcast, Extra Virgin Food and Travel, that I started 2.5 years ago. So that's me.
Amazing. That's, well, yay, podcasting travel. And the way we got connected was through the fabulous Amanda Kendall from the Thoughtful Travel Podcast. So we're a niche little group, aren't we, here in Australia, the travel podcasting.
Yeah, we are. I think we're growing, though.
Is it interesting? I just thought it was like, come on, travel. Everybody wants to talk about travel. So there's like hundreds of them, but, you know, happy to be a niche and happy to talk about it.
Well, I'm doing obviously both of my loves, food and travel, in my podcast, which, yeah.
Well, it's one of the things that we bring up a lot on the podcast and something that people can always kind of come together on. And whenever I post in our travel community group on Facebook about food, it's always a popular post and tends to be that I apologize at the start because we're probably going to make everybody hungry because you, I'm sure, have some fabulous tips. But we are here today to talk about Queensland, where we both actually live. Now, have you always lived in Queensland and where are you living right now?
I haven't always lived in Queensland. I lived for 10 years in the UK and in Italy. But apart from that, I've always lived in Queensland. In fact, I live in Red Hill in Brisbane, which is an inner city suburb. I've been here for more than 20 years. But I grew up in Ipswich, which is a city about 45 minutes from Brisbane. So I've always pretty much lived in Queensland. I haven't lived in any other states in Australia.
Wow, there you go. Well, then you're perfect for this episode. That is wonderful. I'm quickly going to touch on Italy. My goodness. Is that where the love of food started or did you go there because of the food or was that just chance?
Actually, my parents offered me for my 21st birthday a choice between having a big party or going to Italy where my aunt, my mother's sister, was living. So she married a Florentine man and I had always, always loved travel and I had this fascination with Italy because my Italian cousins used to come to Australia every year for what were the European summer holidays. And I just thought they were the most exotic. There were four girls and I just thought they were the most exotic creatures ever with their accents and the way they could speak Italian. You know, they're all beautiful and so stylish. And so from a very young age, there were two things. One was I wanted to learn Italian and the other was that I wanted to go to Italy to visit. So I started learning Italian. My cousins would teach me words and phrases. And then, at 21, I jetted off to Florence and I lived there for a while as a nanny, working as a nanny and learning Italian. And it would turn out that my life was going to be quite entwined with Italy because when I went to London, I met an Italian. And so we were together for 5 years. He came from an island just off the coast of Naples called Ischia. So we used to spend time there as well. So I did end up learning Italian and I did end up living in Italy.
Oh, wow. Well, that's amazing. And Florence, I've only been to Italy once. I held it off for many years because I just wanted to do all the things. And then I was like, oh, have I built it up too much? Because everybody wants to go to Italy. I don't know. It's just one of these. It's like Paris and Italy. Like people are like, have never traveled but want to go there. And then I got there and I was like, oh, I see. And now my husband and I, we would love to do, we loved Montepulciano. So I think that Tuscany region is so, it's what you imagine, I guess, Italy to be. Oh, of course, you've got the islands and the city too, but that, you know.
It is quintessential. The Tuscan region is quintessential what we imagine Italy to be. My now husband also loves Italy, go every year, and we have pretty much seen everything. We've pretty much visited every region from the north to the south. Just before COVID hit, we did Sicily, which was one of the last regions on our list. So I miss it terribly.
Oh, okay. We made Darius very sad the other week with New South Wales and getting all nostalgic. So we won't do that. We will stick with where we are and that we're very fortunate to travel here. But it is nice to daydream and it's nice to imagine and to have that future hope and how wonderful that you made such a dream come true. And we did do an Italy episode without any Italians or Italian related, so we might have to do an Italy part two and invite you back.
Well, I'd be very happy to talk about Italy.
Good. You've just moved to my regular guest list. So you told us where you're from. Tell me, I know a big question when you live here and have lived here so long, but I've actually skipped a question, but I'm going to jump straight to this. What's your favourite place in Queensland?
Well, I love wine, and when I travel around the world, I will always I'll always gravitate towards regions that produce wine. So for me, it's the Granite Belt. I've been visiting the Granite Belt, which is south west of Brisbane for about 15 years, and I've watched it develop slowly. It's a wine district. It has about 50 wineries and cellar doors. It's a cold climate, which sounds strange to people listening out of Queensland, but we Queenslanders do love a fire.
Yes. Yeah, I love the going up to the or a mountainy area or country, because we obviously have such a long and amazing and beautiful, very famous coastline. But yes, because we have that, you crave that country and snuggly and cold.
Yeah, just for a little while. We don't want it forever, but
no,
yeah,
just a weekend.
But it's actually also it's really lovely in summer there as well, actually, because it's a little bit cooler, and you know, they've got these lovely creeks and streams that you can swim in. There's beautiful bushwalks to escape the heat a little bit. And of course, there's a fantastic food and to complement the wine, there's a fantastic food industry there as well, which is getting better and better every year.
That is so serendipitous, because last night I was literally looking up. I looked up an article the other week. I just was searching sort of places to stay in Queensland, because I'm trying to like just look at the map and pick out randomly, because we do tend to gravitate to the same sort of areas. The Gold Coast is obviously one of Australia's most popular destinations, really far up at the moment, but Cairns, Sunshine Coast, so you've got Noosa and you know, and even then, you know, the Sunshine Coast has all these beaches, but people go to Noosa. You know, the Gold Coast has all these different suburbs and locations, but people go to Burleigh Heads and Broadbeach and Surfers. So I'm trying to stay and go to different places, and we've done a few of the, like, you know, I looked at the list and I was like, yes, done. Yeah. But Stanthorpe came up, which is on the Granite Belt. And last night I only learnt that word or that phrase, the Granite Belt, last night, because I was looking up Stanthorpe and actually thinking – I just wish I knew someone who knew where to stay and where to go. When you're looking at bookings.com, you know, and I know not everybody loves these, but bookings.com or Airbnb or whatever, because I'm just trying to get an idea of what the accommodation's like and where you could stay. And but, you know, because I don't know the region, it's like, is this a good spot? Is that a good spot? What is there to do? And I could see some pretty pictures and the countryside-ish thing, but I was like, I don't even know where to start. So, yay, you are now my Granite Belt guide.
Well, I can give you lots of tips for the Granite Belt. And actually, my favorite place there is Ballandine, which is a small village outside of Stanthorpe. It's more of that sort of country. It's closer to a lot of the wineries, and it's also very close to the Girraween National Park, which is beautiful for walks. That's the classic photo that you would have seen with the balancing rock.
Yes. And then is Toowoomba counted in the Granite Belt?
No. It starts, I think, at Warwick, the Southern Downs district, I think it's called. But the Granite Belt for me is really when you hit Stanthorpe.
Mm-hmm. And a friend talked about it. She was like, oh, sometimes I just like to get in the car and I go out there. And so I've heard it, but hadn't really thought of it. But I guess with the beauty of this pandemic and this time of being stuck in our beautiful state, is that I want to get to some of those places, and the places that you know, it's not that far actually for us, probably I think it was maybe even 2 hours, 2.5 or something. And I've never been to Toowoomba either, so yes, again, you sort of I very much like the typical traveler and tourist to Australia. I've hung to the coast and in Queensland hung to the southeast, so which is why I wanted someone to come on who's seen more of it. So that's so perfect. And the Southern Downs, I've heard that before, but I didn't really know what it meant.
Yeah, from work. And I'm happy to come on anytime and tell you about the Granite Belt as well.
Well, I would love to. You know, we had a Gold Coast episode, and that's the thing, you know. We've had an Australia episode, which is obviously you can only just touch on things. And then when we had our New South Wales episode the other week, it was like, and then this, and then that, and then that. And it's like, we're going to have to, you know, really drill down on each region and each area, and you know, even a city, you know, they've got some of them you can't I mean, 40 minutes is never enough, but anyway, tell me a few other, let's just rattle off a couple, because I've already listed a few just there, but can you tell us some famous places in Queensland, or I guess some of the highlight places of Queensland?
Yeah, well, of course, you've mentioned the Gold Coast, which has been really interesting watching the development of the Gold Coast, because when I was young, it was always this kind of glitzy but you know, somehow superficial kind of place. Hacky. And it's been, I didn't want to say that.
No, it was. And people, when we moved here 5 years ago, people went, so do you like it? And we like cringe as they said it, or like, so are you enjoying it? I'm like, I don't understand the question. Like, beautiful beaches, hinterland, and you know, like it has shifted. So yes, sorry, please continue.
Yeah, it's got a really growing cultural side to it that's quite surprising. You know, lots of art, and also a fantastic food scene. Oh my gosh. Seems like there's something new opening on the Gold Coast every week. It's incredible. I do like the southern end of the Gold Coast. You know, it's a bit cliche, but Burleigh, you know, it's like a village of food and drink. And then you've got the walk over the Burleigh headlands, and you know, the beach there is just beautiful. And is there anything better than, you know, eating a lobster roll at Rickshaw's, you know, with the sand between your toes? You know?
And looking up towards that view, I took one of my friends actually. I did a food and wine tour in Burleigh, which was great and taught me some new places. And there's a little shop called Galossi, and they do amazing, just, you know, I'm sure you would love it. It's got Italian and local produce. That's all they have. And it's all those little yummy little things. You just want a little bit of everything. And so our friend and I went and got some little yummies, and then went to the bottle shop and got some little bottles of sparkling. And then we went and had a picnic at Burleigh Head, looking back toward the Gold Coast, and that view with the rocks there that almost look like they're out of Hawaii or something, with the beautiful pinkenbar trees. Like, it's very quintessential Gold Coast.
It is. It's absolutely gorgeous. And then, of course, there's the Great Barrier Reef, which is one of the few natural which, of course, is visible from space, apparently.
It's a natural wonder of the world, yeah.
Thank you. I haven't checked that out myself, but not from space anyway. I have the Barrier Reef. And, of course, you know, fringing the Barrier Reef is the Daintree Rainforest, which is 180 million years old, which is pretty amazing. However, I recently have been heading inland a little bit, and I've been surprised to discover things, you know, famous places in Queensland that are not on the coast or nothing to do with the reef, like Balcaldon, where the Australian Labor Party was formed. And there's heaps of history there. It's a very small town in outback Queensland. And there was a shearers' strike there. And, you know, unions were formed and the Labor Party was formed there. So it's a really important part of Australian history. And then there's Longreach, where our national airline Qantas was established. And there is heaps to do there. You could spend a week probably there. So yeah, don't ignore those places. Don't just stick to the coast when you come to Queensland, is my advice.
And there are more and more things coming. One of my friends, she works with museums and exhibits, and they do sort of you know, a lot of education fitting out those museums. And they recently have been out to places I'd never heard of, like Roma. And there's another one, and they've just built this, it's inside an air, airline carrier. What do you call those? You know, where they keep the planes. Anyway, and they found all this stuff from World War II, and they have like letters from these military, you know, the US, because the US were military were based out there. And they built like the inside of a ship inside this air hangar. Like, it's, you know, they do amazing stuff. And so these are places that I'd never heard of. I'll have to put them in the show notes, because I'll have to ask her where they are. But, you know, they're just, I was like, oh, I didn't even think to go. I don't know where the road goes. I don't know. And a place that I went to recently, because, like, you know, we always have those famous places like Cairns. I went to Mission Beach, and it was my first time on the plane since the pandemic had started. Feeling very, very fortunate to be in Australia. And it was because of Amanda Kendall, bringing everyone together, 6 degrees. In her podcast group, there was Kirsten Pilz, who was running a writing, I have to articulate my teeth, writing as in, you know, with pen and paper, retreat in Mission Beach. And so my first flight was from Gold Coast to Cairns, and I just bawled my eyes out, because looking out the window over this stunning, you know, getting to fly over the Great Barrier Reef and being like, this is my home, like this is my country, and this is, this was so accessible to us. And yeah, and then the drive down from Cairns to Mission Beach was epic, because you go through past the Dane Tree, you've got these bouldery, mountainous sort of, you know, these cliff faces, and then just, yeah, beautiful rainforest location. And then the next thing you know, you're on a beach and you could be, it looks like Sri Lanka.
It's so beautiful. We are really, really lucky.
And somewhere I'd love to get to, which is so much, this is like a way further trip, but somewhere like, you know, there's Cape Tribulation and like, you know, from, you think Cairns is high up in Queensland, trying to get to the top, like it's that point. It's huge. It's a huge state. I think people don't realize how big we are.
No, they don't. And I was lucky enough to go to Cape Tribulation. I guess it was just before the pandemic, actually. And two of my greatest fears are crocodiles and sharks. There I am having both of them. So we're doing snorkeling out on a reef off Cape Tribulation. And it was so amazing. And I overcame my fear and I got into the water and, you know, I was absolutely fine. But, yeah, just to have that incredible rainforest that comes right down to the beach and meets the white sand and the blue of the ocean. It's just, it's a once in a lifetime place that we should make the effort, I guess, to push for further north and see.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, hopefully with, you know, yes, the international is going to open up, but I think there's still going to be this appetite for domestic. And I mean, gosh, I like hasn't, you know, another famous place, but, you know, it's lovely to highlight the different places because most people know, but you got Hamilton and the Whitsundays, and I guess people wanting to have that overseas or that tropical holiday feel, and I'm doing inverted commas, that is a great place to go. But my goodness, it's not cheap traveling there.
So it would be interesting to see what's happening there now, because, of course, those places rely a lot on international tourism. And I know they've been very, very hard hit in the last year or so. So if you can get up there, you know, I know that they are suffering. So
let's it's been nice to see quite a lot of friends. I saw some friends recently go to Lady Elliot. That's another quite exotic place and unique. And, you know, that they are pricey, and they're places that potentially in a normal year when you do want to do other things, you wouldn't put aside that money. But when you usually have maybe an international holiday budget, you're going, well, I will put that budget towards some of these experiences that, you know, it took me, I remember being asked by our parents when I was 11, do you want to go to the Great Barrier Reef or do you want to go to Bali? And we were like, duh, Bali. And then I got to, I was 27 before I got to Cairns and got to the Great Barrier Reef. And it's like, come on, guys, like see your own country and take that time and set aside, set aside the time to explore and to understand it, you know, so other overseas visitors have seen these epic world wonders that I hadn't seen, and it's up the road essentially.
Oh, absolutely same. And, you know, Emma, talking about the Great Barrier Reef, one of the greatest secrets of the Great Barrier Reef is actually the Southern Great Barrier Reef, where you're talking about Lady Elliot and Lady Musgrave Island, which are the most southern islands of the Great Barrier Reef, which are totally unspoiled. Like you don't get that kind of tourism that you do when you go further north and go to Cairns and go out to the Great Barrier Reef Islands. But they have this absolutely incredible amount of wildlife. So I can't remember which of the islands it is, but one of them is very famous for its rays. Manta rays everywhere. Yeah. And there's one there that is a pink ray, and it's the world's only pink ray that they've ever found, and it's called Inspector Clouseau, apparently.
That is so cool. I'll have to ask them if they saw it. It's on my radar because they've just been posting photos all this week, and absolute wildlife wonderland.
You can swim with turtles and you can swim with whales they're doing a lot to protect it. So it's much more of that sort of rustic wildlife experience, I think, than the more developed islands in the north. But, great hidden secret.
Yeah, and one of the more popular, the gateway to the Great Barrier Reef would be Fraser Island. So there's that does get a lot of airtime, and for good reason. I haven't been there. That's another one on my list. But, you know, you go up to, you drive. So that's probably more accessible. So if people don't have the time or don't have, you know, you really do have to fly to get to Cairns. But if you were in the Gold Coast or Brisbane, you can drive up to Hervey Bay, which is about 3 hours from Brisbane, 4.5. I've got lovely friends there, and beautiful spot itself, famous for the whales. And then you can get out to Fraser Island from there, and you are touching, that's how big the Great Barrier Reef is, you know, like you are touching the Great Barrier Reef from there, and then it goes all the way up. So you don't, like you said, there's other ways to see that wonder and to experience it without having to do that same tourist route.
Yeah, and it's a lot cheaper
to
stay on one of the Southern Great Barrier Reef Islands. It's a lot cheaper.
I love it. So I guess if you can, what would be, if people had, were coming to Queensland for the first time, and for maybe for people who've always done the regular things, what would be your first timer itinerary? Let's say if you had a week or so.
All right. Well, of course you have to come to Brisbane. We have an amazing art and culture scene here. So walk around the streets, look at the fantastic street art, visit GOMA, which is, you know, one of the best galleries in Australia, if not the best, but also check out some of the smaller galleries. There's one, for example, called Artisan, which is in Bowen Hills, and it's dedicated to Queensland arts and crafts. So there's lots of wonderful, quirky exhibitions on there, but you can also buy locally made things, from jewellery to ceramics, mostly made by Queenslanders and often with a Queenslander theme. So they're great to take home as souvenirs. Then, of course, I'd had to head to the Gold Coast, but unless you're really into theme parks, I would keep driving south to Burleigh Heads, and I'd probably spend a few days on Burleigh Heads because the beaches are just gorgeous and, you know, there's that great food and drink scene. Spend some time, you know, have a drink in one of the rooftop bars as you watch the sunset. You know, there's so many great places to eat and drink there. Then on the further north, of course, is the Sunshine Coast. I would recommend that people get off the highway before they hit the Sunshine Coast and go through the hinterland, maybe Mullaney or Montville.
Which, love them. Yes.
Yeah, they're very cute little villages. Pack your togs, which sounds strange. Well, you probably, hopefully, you already have your swimmers with you because you're going to go to the beach. But there are beautiful waterfalls to swim there, like Gardner's Falls or Condalilla Falls, which is sort of in rainforest.
Yeah, did the bushwalk. Beautiful. And there's little tea houses along just there as well. It's really great little, half day sort of.
Yeah, and cheese factories and craft brewery. And, it's really worth spending a few days there. And then, of course, go down to the seaside. Noosa is insanely popular, but I'd actually recommend staying somewhere like Sunshine Beach and just visiting Noosa, because Sunshine's a gorgeous beach and it has a dog beach there as well, which is useful if you're taking your dog with you. And it's far less crowded than Noosa. Then, of course, you need to continue on north to Cairns and experience the Great Barrier Reef. So that would probably be my first time as guide to seeing Queensland.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And don't, like, on that, we'll just say, if you've only got a week, do not drive. It is a big trip, though. You know, a very popular thing for travellers and probably younger travellers was that East Coast road trip. People would fly and come into Sydney and they would go travel all the way up the East Coast to Cairns. Like, that was such a popular route. But for me personally, the highest I've been is Bundaberg in the car. And then I've been to Townsville, Magnetic Island, Mission Beach, Cairns, but they were by plane, and have fortunately done a little bit of, you know, in the cars around there. But one trip that we're hoping to do soon, and we had it booked in and then we recently had a lockdown, was to go up to Agnes Waters and 1770. So that's about a 7.5-hour drive from Gold Coast, but stopping along the way, especially as I have a little one at the moment. But then, you know, looking on to my husband has an auntie in Mackay, so I'm like, well, let's keep on going. It's another 5 hours. Foreigners are probably listening to this going, what? But for an Australian, this is like, I mean, my husband's a bit like, this, that's a bit much. And I'm like, that's fine. You can just fly up and meet me. I'm going to do a little, you know, stop along the way. And then I'd love to keep going because I've not been to like Airlie Beach, which again is a very popular, probably more like I know a lot of travellers. I heard about it through sort of backpacker travellers years ago. So it's that because it's on that route and then continuing up. So I would probably turn around and come back after that. But Airlie Beach would be, I think that's the gateway to Hamilton and the Whitsundays. Am I?
Do you know, I have never been to the Whitsundays, believe it or not.
There you go. We're going, you and me. That's it. Yeah. Amanda, fly over. We're going. We're having it. We'll have our own writer's retreat. We'll make it a deductible.
I have to say, though, Emma, that there are bits, there are boring bits in an East Coast road trip. Yeah, okay. I've done to Townsville. And I don't know that I'd do it again, to be honest. I love the drive to Bundaberg and I love Bargara, which is the beachside suburb of Bundaberg. And that's an amazing place to go a couple of times a year. The turtles return there and they come up onto the shore and you can actually go at night and watch them lay their eggs with a ranger. It's all very carefully controlled. And then I think from about now till the end of December maybe is when the turtles hatch. So you can go and watch the babies hatch out of the eggs.
What a great tip.
It's a beautiful place and beautiful beaches there. I've just been there and, in fact, to Agnes Waters in 1770, probably about a month ago, I think.
We were in there the same time. My worked in Gladstone. He worked in Gladstone, which isn't apparently, again, it's coming. It's one of those places that's coming up and transforming. So when he was there, there wasn't a lot going on, but it seems like, I guess, as people spread to the regions and want to get out of the city and develop those areas, you know, and bring local business, you know, there is more there. So, yeah, he had told me about, you know, they'd done trips to 1770, but I actually did a promotional job in Bundaberg and I wasn't excited, I must say, because Bundaberg is associated with the rum. It's famous for the rum and they have the distillery there and they actually have the wonderful Bundaberg ginger beer as well. So everybody knows it for that. But I did have that stereotype of that Bundaberg was going to be really bogan and just wasn't excited. But when I got there, I didn't realise that it was that coastal play. And even flying into the airport, it was like so tropical. And then there was a little just off the main street. I went for a walk one day and there was a little animal park sort of in one of the parks, and then we went out for dinner one night in Bargara. I was like I could totally come here for this. Would be such a perfect little family holiday place.
It's like a turning back time. It's like a retro holiday. Bargara in particular, it's like a retro seaside holiday destination. And I actually am a big fan of Bundaberg. I've probably been there around 5 times, a couple of times for jobs, for working. But I have chosen to go there myself. And there is so much to do there. You know, there's all the, it's quite unusual in that you don't get a lot of places in Australia where farms meet the sea like that, you know. And the people that live there, they can be driving home from work and they'll just pull up at a roadside stall to get some sweet potatoes or something, you know, and you can pick your own strawberries, which are just, there's a strawberry farm there, Tina berries, and the best strawberries I've ever tasted in my life, you know, red all the way through. And when you pick them and they're sun warmed and just juicy, so good.
Hey, we told you we make you hungry and... Actually, we chatted off air, but Holly Galbraith, who's been on one of our episodes before, she's hosting a food destination food. She hosts a conference, and that is going to be in Bundaberg. And I'm the converted, and I actually did when I was there because I said I had friends in Hervey Bay. So I usually, if you can get off the highway, it's great. The Bruce Highway is awful and it is not an exciting drive, so the more you can get off and if you have the time, go off. So I would have usually driven the highway, but I drove sort of the smaller road from Bundaberg to Harvey Bay. And, you know, that song, This Is Australia, you know, lightning cracks over the rain fields. That happened. I was driving, and every time I'm in Harvey Bay, I've been there when there's been like a almost hurricane. There's always a storm when I'm there, but the lightning cracked, the sky lit up, and the cane fields. I was driving past the cane fields, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, it's real! The lightning does crack over the cane fields." And it was, dude, it just was like, "Wow, this is Australia."
It's a great experience.
It was epic, and you know, bits. Those roads are very dark, so it's a bit like, "Oh, maybe I won't do this drive at night again." The daytime is definitely recommended, but right near there as well, one that's been on my bucket list, and I keep saying next time I go, because I do go up to, they're in Toogan. And very fortunate. I love seeing them. Their house is just, not Toogan. Toogan's down here. Toogham is just north of Harvey Bay, and they are literally, their backyard goes onto the water, and they're north facing because they come in a little bit. So it's such a beautiful spot. And, you know, I've been very fortunate to go, but Rainbow, I always get them confused. Rainbow Bay, Rainbow Beach is right near there.
I think Rainbow Bay is on the Gulf.
Yes, it's Rainbow Beach, and it's a very popular camping spot, and apparently it's just charming and lovely, and I still haven't got there. And so I keep saying next time I go, we're going to set aside a night to spend at Rainbow Beach. But that's the thing. You've got, I love all these famous places, and I love that, you know, we're known for these, but if you have the time, go to the famous spot and then go a sidestep, literally 15 minutes or half an hour to the left or right of that famous place, and you will be, you know, met by this very similar but charmingly different and untouched sort of real that Australian place.
That is in life, actually, Emma, is to take, I say, like off-piste travel, or taking the road less travel. My favourite thing ever.
It's such a... you feel like you've just discovered a secret, and it's really, it's that traveling with your eyes wide open. It's such a wonderful experience.
That sounds like your road trip is getting very, very long.
This is probably why my husband doesn't want to do it, because I while we've got the time, and it's good to have my own car with our little ones. So, but yes, no, this might have to be a few road trips. So tell me, look, food, are there any unique foods, or like foods that when you're in Queensland you have to have?
You know, we can get just about everything everywhere in Australia these days, can't we? So I can't think, apart from something like a Moreton Bay bug, which is very similar to a Balmain bug, which is a type of seafood. It's kind of like a lobster, but it has a more crab-shaped shell, and it has beautiful, sweet flesh, and it's found in Moreton Bay, which is the sea, the bay just off the coast of Brisbane. Apart from that, strangely, one thing that we do have, which nobody else has in any other state, is our own unique Arnott's ginger nut biscuit. So apparently every state in Australia has a different recipe of ginger nut biscuits. So if you have one in New South Wales, it will taste different to the ones in Queensland. The ones in Queensland are darker and sweeter, and I believe from memory they're harder than New South Wales ginger nuts. So there you go.
I do enjoy those. Are there any, I mean, this is a tough question again, but are there any sort of maybe restaurants or like food, like you said with the strawberries near Bundaberg, are there any of those sorts of food-like experiences that people could have that would feel like Queensland? And we mentioned the wine as well, going to Stanthorpe.
Look, I think I mentioned the bug roll at Rickshaw's. I think that's a really potential Queensland dining experience. I honestly can't think of any, you know.
It's a tough question. It's just that I think it was for me probably based off South Australia, where they've got the iced coffee and their fruit chocks. Like there's just some states where there's things that you'd never heard of before, and then you go there and everybody talks about it and you're like, what is this?
I think the issue with Queensland food is that it's so good that all the other states have adopted it, like our Wee Smacker bars that used to be Queensland, now you can find all over the country because they're too good not to share with the rest of Australia.
And for me, it's what's coming to mind is mangoes. It feels like, I guess we are a more tropical sort of place. So it feels like get into your fruits and actually fruit picking. A lot of backpackers, so we've mentioned them before, a lot of backpackers when they have to do, if they want to stay on longer, they often come to Queensland to do the fruit picking so that, you know, yes, it does get exported, you know, domestically and international, but, you know, we do get really, really yummy fruits and our climate suits that.
And we do have our fruit, large fruit icons. We have the big pineapple on the Sunshine Coast. And even though pineapples, I believe they came from Hawaii originally. And then we have the big mango, which is just outside of Bowen from memory. I have visited it. And I do remember there was a bit of a scandal that the big mango was stolen at one stage, but I do believe they recovered it. So it's back now.
So you've got to see those. And the big pineapple is super fun. And it's actually not that far off the highway. It's quite close to an iconic place in Queensland, the Australia Zoo, which Steve Irwin created and his family still runs. So, you know, when you're in that area, there's definitely, and like you said, actually Mullaney has some amazing food experiences. They have some really famous, not famous now, things that have come out of there. There's some ice cream that's so delicious from up there and the cheeses, and it's just charming up there. So definitely a foodie's paradise up in those little hill areas.
Absolutely. And great restaurant.
So best time of year to visit. Tough one with Queensland.
It is, but you know, I think autumn and winter are absolutely beautiful here. The heat can be a bit much if you're not used to it. And it's really draining, that kind of subtropical heat. But our winters are just beautiful. You know, the skies are blue and they feel so huge. It's like you're watching an IMAX movie or something, you know. And also the water in the Great Barrier Reef, around the Great Barrier Reef and the islands, is clearer in that the visibility is better in winter. So it's a great time to go diving or snorkeling as well.
Yeah, I'd second that. My favourite month, and it is my birthday month, so I'm probably biased, but August. I just find the weather is perfect. July, August, we're about 23, 24 most days. It's just the perfect temperature. Yep, I'm looking at the window right now. It's blue skies. I mean, we are now in September, but blue skies, crystal clear, the sun's on your skin, not too hot. Then you have the opportunity to get that mountainy. Like if you know, last year for my birthday, went to Sunshine Coast, and we also had a little weekend away at Mount Tambourine. So you can have that wintry mountain fireplace feel, but then you can also drive down, especially up, you know, Sunshine Coast or Tambourine. In 40 minutes, you can drive down and be at the beach and having a splash. So they are my recommended for travelers to come and to come visit. And I've had visitors come, and it's just such a lovely season. And, you know, for Australians, if they are at more south, coming up in those months to escape the winter.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd stay away from school holidays if at all possible, which I think the end of June and mid-September, I think, for a couple of weeks. But
I'd also avoid November. It's end of November is start of December is schoolies. Avoid the Gold Coast. It is schoolies, and there will be thousands of 18-year-olds, and they
get like somewhat spring break, is what Americans would call spring break.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, especially the theme parks. My husband works at SeaWorld, so that is his probably least favorite time of the year. And January, actually, I kind of hibernate in those first few weeks of Jan, because obviously, yes, you know, understandably, people have school holidays and we have our big summer break over that time for school. So I actually love those first weeks of Jan, hanging out at home. And we're very fortunate to have a pool and to have the water nearby. So I like to keep local, and I say, you know, the tourists can have all the other things and I'll enjoy them the rest of the year.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
That's a sneaky local tip. So stay home. Let the locals have it, and then we'll go back to our enjoying all those spoils later on. I know I really annoy people with my social media because, you know, we are fortunate. We live in this tropical, amazing place. Queensland is like a holiday every day. So best any travel tips you've top travel tip for Queensland, or because you are a travel writer, do you have a travel tip in general for our listeners?
Look, I would like to give a Queensland travel tip, and that is to head inland and explore the Queensland outback. I don't know if people realise how much there is to do. I've done a couple of trips recently, and more because of COVID and not being able to go anywhere, it's forced me to explore a little bit, and I was running out of places to go, so I headed west. There is just so much to do. So stop somewhere like Mitchell, where there are hot artesian springs that you can bathe. Unique experience. Go to Charleville, which I think might be the place.
That's where it is. Yes, Charleville. That's where the hangar is. Yep.
And that is a fantastic tour to do. So it's called something like the Secret History Tour. And it talks, because this American base that you were referring to was a secret base, and it was apparently just north enough but inland enough so that it was just out of range of the Japanese bombs, which is why they built it there. But you go on this incredible tour, and there are, for example, just in the bush, there are these sort of depressions in the ground. And our guide was saying that's where the American soldiers used to come once a week for their baths, their weekly baths. They'd fill up these troughs. And they're actually like filled with DDT and stuff to get rid of the fleas and things that they had picked up on the way. So, you know, a lot of them died because they're bathing in these poisonous chemicals.
Well, it's like mosquito repellent on crack.
Yeah. And there's the remnants of the old dance hall they had there and the old shower block. So that's really interesting. You know, places like Boulia, which is the home of the Min Min lights, which are these mysterious lights which were seen, I don't know, 50 years ago or so, that sort of dance and bounce around the horizon, and nobody's ever been able to figure out what they are. So you can go and hunt for those out there. Call into Middleton, which used to be a thriving town and has its own dance hall, and now there's just one pub, and it's overseen by Val and Les, who are the only two residents of Middleton. Now, there's an old Cobb & Co. coach that's parked outside, sort of falling into disrepair as well. It used to be on the Cobb & Co. route. And, you know, then, of course, when they introduced trains, the town just became basically a ghost town. And then, you know, there's Longreach, as we talked about. There's so much to do. There's the Qantas Museum, the Stockman's Hall of Fame. There's a fantastic sunset cruise that you can do down the river. It is just gorgeous. And then afterwards they take you into the bush where they've set up this beautiful dinner that you have in a grove among the trees. Follow the dinosaur trail that goes around Wynne and Hughenden and Richmond. So much to see and do. My top tip about seeing the Queensland Outback, though, is to book. It's crazy. You need to book your tickets to see any of these attractions really far in advance.
Oh, good. Well, look, that's good to, plan ahead, and so much to look forward to because, sometimes, like I said, you know, those popular places or those well-known places come to mind really quickly. But, to get to see more and to have to make it more a bit more accessible because, it can be a bit daunting driving off into driving inland and driving into the outback and driving the country. And if you don't have a lot of time, you obviously want to make the most of your time. So, yes, not only one, book those tours because you have no idea what you're doing, but also how amazing to support those Queensland operators after these few years just what a blessing we have to get to see.
And, you know, it's so daunting, honestly. It's most of the roads are tarmacked and, you're not ever very far away from a town. They're small towns, but it's not intimidating at all, which is it surprised me the first time I did it. You know, I thought it was going to be so much. I was a bit scared actually, but it's fantastic.
So once you've done it, you'll know, and you can go, and maybe great to have like a start with those, and then I'm gonna put you'll have your contact details in the show notes, so you might end up getting flooded with. You'll definitely be seeing a few emails from me going where should I go today? Where should I go? But honestly, I'm getting onto you about that Stan Thorpe thing. So thank you so much for your time and your generous information and You know, you're the perfect guest because that's exactly what I need. It's very selfishly, this episode has helped me a lot. So thank you.
You're welcome. Can I tell you, while we finish, a couple of unique things about Queensland, please?
Oh, please. Of course. No, please. We want all of this. And I'm going to have to get all these show notes. I'll have to go back through and listen.
Well, Queensland has the only Everglades outside Florida in the world. So they're just inland from Noosa and you can kayak down the Everglades. So that's a little known fact, but I only learnt that, I guess, 2 years ago. I did that trip. I had no idea. So
there you go, Darius, fun fact. And next time you come, I'll take you to the Everglades.
Yep, another fun fact. Queensland has made, in 1923, they made the biggest cheese in the world. So it was the Pittsworth Dairy that made a 1.5-ton cheese that was going to be sent to the Commonwealth Exhibition in London. And apparently people lined the streets to watch as this giant cheese was rolled on a cart down on the way to a ship to be shipped to London.
So that, yum.
That's pretty interesting. We also have in Queensland the country and maybe even the world, who knows, smallest drive-in theatre. So it's in Jericho. I have been, but only in the daytime, and it fits 23 cars.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. Another really unique thing that you need to do if you come to Australia at the right time is it's been called the greatest sex show on earth, and it's the coral spawning on the Great Barrier Reef in November and December.
And I love how you sold that. You can tell you're a travel writer. I can see that headline. Come see the greatest sex show. I'd click that. That's clickbait.
It is a bit clickbaity. It happens after a full moon, somewhere between November and December. You can't predict when it's going to happen, because it's when the sea temperature reaches a certain level and the coral sends out millions of tiny eggs and sperm. And it's apparently an incredible sight. The sea is just filled with this, a little bit gross actually, yeah. Think about it, but it's a pretty unique experience.
Isn't nature magical? I have to tell my husband that, isn't it? He works at SeaWorld, he's a marine biologist, so if he didn't know already, I'd love to share that fun fact with him.
I'm sure he'd know about that. And you can also sleep under the reef at Hardy Reef, just off Ellie Beach.
Oh.
They're actually sweet, where you can sleep under the reef and just watch the fish go past your window, which I haven't done it, but I would love to. It sounds like an absolutely incredible experience.
So I'll add it to our writer's retreat.
Oh, yes, please do that. And you can, another good thing you can do in Queensland, I mentioned before the dinosaur trail, you can actually join a dig and help archaeologists dig dinosaur bones just outside of Winton as well. So that's, I think, a pretty unique thing that you can do in Queensland.
My friend's son just had his fourth birthday, and there were dinosaurs there. So I will have to tell them that. That will have to be their next real dinosaurs. So they will have to add that to their holiday bucket list.
One more, last one. Queensland's smallest town, Batuta, population zero. So it's now a ghost town. The last resident, his name was Sigmund, I think they used to call him Siggy, died in 2004 and requested to be buried in the garden of the pub, which is still standing and, in fact, reopened recently. So you can go and visit the Batuta pub and say hello to Siggy while you're there.
Is that where the Batuta advocate comes from? The very funny, silly, they do sort of spoof stories, and it's always very entertaining.
It's very funny. And, yes, that is where the Batuta advocate comes from.
Oh, my God. How did I – Darius is going to slap me. I nearly ended this episode without our fun facts, and they were all so brilliant. You really raised the bar. Oh, and cute. I've learned some things too. I'm very notorious for not having facts. I allude to things like Charleville. I'm like, there's this place that this thing happened and you know, and then hopefully somebody is listening and knows what I'm talking about. But thank you so much. You are a wealth of knowledge, and you know, I can, as I said, hear your travel writing expertise as you so beautifully helped us travel vicariously around Queensland.
Thank you. I'm always happy to sell my beautiful sticky people. So.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Already looking forward to the next one. We also have a rather extensive back catalogue for you to check out. But in the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram. That's at Lovely Travels on Instagram.
Or you can come and check us out on Facebook, Lovely Travels. That's LOVELLY. Or we would love for you to join our Facebook community with more than 500 members talking all things travel and adventure. That's the Lovely Travels community.
You can also visit our website, which is lovelytravels.com.
Or shoot us an email. We love hearing from our listeners. So please send us an email, feedback, comments, questions, whatever. info@lovelytravels.com.
And you can listen, review, subscribe, like, share, and promote our podcast in any shape, way, or form. We are on Spotify, iTunes, the internet, Google Podcasts. Everywhere where you get podcasts, you will find us.
All good podcasting locations. So tune in next time, guys. Thank you so much for listening.